Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's good to see you all. It's always just fun to come on. Yeah, there's a wave. I got a wave that time. That's awesome. That's great. As I said, we're starting a new series called Margins, and margins are important. When you drive, I don't drive here in Taiwan, but go back home, you're driving, and that margin is that part of the road that's extra. You know, and that if you get a little off, it's like so you don't hit the wall. They have like a little margin on the side of the road so that you don't hit the wall. They have some margins in the wider lanes, give you more margin so that as you're driving, if you get distracted or something, you don't veer into someone else's lane and hit them. So we like wide roads with lots of margin because they keep us safe. And in life, margins keep us safe. We just finished a series on focus. And there's things that we focus on in life that we prioritize. But margins are also important in our lives. Having margins in our schedules, having margins in our health, so that when you have margins in your finances, if you hit an emergency, you have to pay an extra bill that you weren't expecting, you have a little bit of margin so you don't go into the red, you stay in the black. Margin is the difference between being in the black and being in the red. Margin is the difference between having an accident and just being a little off course and steering back in. And so margins are important in life. And some of you might think, well, this doesn't really sound like, where's margins in the Bible? We're going to go through that and just kind of show you where margins in the Bible. But we always like to say, if something is true, that you're going to see it not only in Scripture, you're going to see it in nature. You're going to see it in science. It's going to be true across in the natural world as well as the spiritual world, as well as the Scripture, because God created them all. And He's the author of the physical world. He's the creator of the spiritual world. He's the author of the Bible. And so because He's the author of all of them, when something is true, you're going to see it in every aspect. And today, as we open up this new series on margins, kind of excited with the focus and then the margins around the focus, and we're going to share how those two work together. So over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about how we need margins in our health and in our relationships. We need margins in our time and in our finances. And it's going to be very practical. We're also going to show you how it's always been a part of God's plan for us. You're going to see how margins are all throughout Scripture. So are you ready?
Yes.
Sort of? A little bit? I remember an illustration of the importance of margins. I have a photo, I think a picture up there. I think, are we going with that first? There you go. So this is a bus going through one of my favorite parts of Taiwan, Taroko Gorge. And see how the bus fills up the whole road, has very little margin. If you've ever driven through there, especially in a bus through Taroko Gorge, you'll see that parts of the road have very little margin. But nowadays, when you drive up there, at least they have the guardrails and you feel a little safe. And the roads are much wider than they used to be. When I first went to Taroko Gorge back in the 70s, before most of you were born, I think I have a picture of Taroko Gorge, the roads in the 70s. So that's what the roads look like in the 70s. You see the little white stones to mark the road, and that was your margin. And most of the time as you're driving through there, there's only enough room for the bus or one car. And if you run into another one, one of them has to back up until you get to where you have space for it to pass each other. And it was dangerous, and it was kind of scary. And Taroko Gorge is beautiful, but when you're riding in a bus and you're right off the edge there and someone's coming at you and the bus driver's backing up, or like for us, when the storm clouds rolled in and the bus driver couldn't see, and so he had his assistant walking next to the bus telling him where the road was so he wouldn't go off the ditch. And then when you hear about buses going off the ditch, like this next photo, that's a bus that went off the side of the road in Taroko Gorge. You can barely see at the top there, but you look down and it's, it's hundreds of meters down to where the river is down at the bottom. And the only thing that held them up was some trees. But luckily no one died there. But a lot of people have died in falling off on buses. Actually, a month after we finished our tour, there was a bus that went off and most of the people on that bus died. So it's, when you're in that kind of a scary situation and the margins are very small, all of a sudden you can't enjoy the beauty. You're no longer looking at the scenery. You're just scared. You're just watching that little bit of margin that you have. And that's like life. When our margins start to get tight, they begin to consume all of our lives. Whether it's time, when you're tight on schedule, then you're like, we got to get there. Everything's about getting there on time because we got this meeting and then that meeting and then that meeting. If we miss this one, if we go late to that one, then we're going to miss the next one. Or if it's your finances get tight. So margins are important for us to be able to enjoy life the way God intended. And so I have a little video here that we want to show about this kind of an intro to the series. I can relate to some of that. Have you ever felt like, man, I just could use a little more time? Or if I just had a little more money, or just like, you know, if I had a little more time, I could just had a little more time to do, you know, more devotions, read a little more Bible in the morning, spend a little more time, you know, with my wife or my husband or my kids or at work, or, you know, all of us have those places in our lives where the margins start to just have a little more time so I could work out, I'd be, you know, in better shape. And so today we're going to be talking about margins, why they're important. Quick overview of our sermon. We're going to give you the definition of margin. We're going to go show you how margins are eroded. And then how do we restore healthy margins? So first of all, definition of margin. I want to point you to a book. If you're a book reader, and I know a lot of you guys in the congregation are book readers and love reading books, this is a great book on margins, probably the best book that I'm aware of on margins. It's by Richard A. Swenson, and it's kind of like the seminal book on margins. So if you want to really, we only have so much time on a Sunday to unpack margins, but if you really want to get into it, this book is great for really unpacking and defining and giving practical tips on margins. But here's something that he said, his definition of margins. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. And so that's a definition that we're going to use from Richard Swenson. Margins, the space between our load and our limits. It's the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. It is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. So it's just that breathing space. I need room to breathe. You know, I just need a break. I feel like I'm just running. I just need to slow down and let my life breathe. That's what a margin is. It's breathing room in our lives. It's that extra space in our lives. And as we go through this series, here's a little overview of the series. We'll talk about time, margins in our time, margins in our relationships, how margins affect our morals, our finances, and our identity. And we're gonna just look at a Bible story that relates to margins from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So Jesus, as they went on their way to talk about the disciples, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary. Now, Martha and Mary were friends with Jesus, so he didn't just go to a stranger's house and she welcomed him, but he was friends with Martha and Mary, went to the house, Jesus stayed with them. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And so in this story, we see Mary and Martha. Both of them are actually doing good things, but Jesus said, there's a better part that Mary has chosen, and it's the relational aspect. And so as we look into the scripture today, I love how the scripture says that Mary has chosen the good part, because it's always back to our choice. And dealing with margins is really a matter of our choosing. What are we choosing to invest our time and our life in? Here Jesus says, he's telling Martha and Mary, saying the relationship is actually more important than the trappings of the relationship. And my wife and I, we love to host and people in our home. And my wife bears the brunt of hosting people in our home. So she's always, you know, people are coming over, we got to clean. And I'm kind of like, just open the door. That's fine. This is how we live. People can just see, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, you know, this has to match and that has to be. And you know, everything has to be put away. And so we have our conflict there. She's like, everything just has to be out of sight somewhere, you know? And I'm like, how can I find them? We're just throwing them someplace. So I'm always a little agitated. A little, right? I'm pretty good at not being too agitated. Like, where did that thing go? Where did the keys go? You know, where did that paper go? Where did the book go? Where? And she's like, I don't know. It was out and people were coming over. So we just had to put it somewhere, you know? And that's our difference of how we see margins. But not saying that I'm like the Mary and she's like the Martha, just saying we're different and that we all have our different priorities and values in life. But we need to choose our values and our priorities well, the things that we put into the margins of our lives. That space between our load and our limits. And even we're going to look at what do we allow to become our loads? What do we own? And is it worth being a load in our life? So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Would you just join me in a word of prayer as we kick in? Heavenly Father, as we look at our lives, it's so easy, like Martha, to take on more than what we can even handle. And how, Lord, when that happens in our lives, like Martha, we get frustrated so easily. And Father, I pray that we'd be more like Mary. That in the margins of our lives, we would choose the good things. Not the things that frustrate us or cause anxiety or cause anger towards others. But the things that connect us with you and the things that build strong relationships in our lives. Today, as we look into your word, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us. That, Lord, we would be transformed by your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we choose, you see, Martha, she had so filled up her margin with the busyness of getting ready. This wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing, right, that she's getting the house ready. These are good things. But in the choice of what she invested into, when Jesus was sitting there and she could have spent time being friends, she spent her time trying to make things look nice for her friend rather than actually investing time in her friend. And sometimes we're like that. We invest so much time into the trappings that we miss the relationship. We can spend so much time worrying about what we look like and what we're going to wear and very little time thinking about who we're going to meet and how we can best be a blessing to them in our interactions. And I think if we have real friends, they're going to be more excited about the interaction and the sharing than they are about what you're wearing. It's just, what do we prioritize? And what do we fill the margins of our lives with? And how are those margins eroded? Point number two, the erosion of our margins. And here's just some ways that we can tell that our margins are eroding and what happens when the margins in our lives begin to erode. First of all, we just see negative emotions begin to rise. Okay, fear starts to come up, anger. I know for myself, when my margins start to erode and I feel like I don't have enough time to finish everything, my wife usually bears the brunt of that. You know, why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me this question? You know, why are you bothering me? Everything is a bother. And then insecurity comes into our lives. I don't know if I have enough time. I don't know if I have enough knowledge to do the task that I've been given, to be the person that other people expect me to be. What happens in our lives? These negative emotions begin to arise in our lives whenever it's a clear indicator that our margins, we're running out of margin in our life and we need to reestablish more margin in our lives. As our margins decrease, in general, our stress increases. How many are feeling like you're lacking margins in your life? You can feel that stress coming on in our lives. Well, we won't leave you there, but we're making a point. Another thing that happens when our margins start to decrease, not only do we have these negative emotions of anxiety and anger and frustration and fear start to rise up in our lives, but also we get the urgent begins to obscure the important in our lives. Like we talked about with when that there's no more room on the road up on as the bus is going on a cliff, or I think I have a picture of some guys hiking in Taroko Gorge. And there they are, and they're just holding on to that rope because there's just a sheer drop off down the side of the cliff. And so they got this rope, and they're holding on to that thing, and nobody's stopping to enjoy the beautiful scenery. Why? Because they're just hanging on for dear life and trying to get through that tight section. And that's what happens in our lives when we start to lose our margins. Our focus becomes just in that area of frustration, fear. Now, there's always going to be times in our lives that require focus, whether it's at work or any endeavor that require us to accomplish the task. But what's unhealthy is if we feel our whole lives and we start to lose all of our margins, then we're starting to feel that stress all the time. And that begins to wear down our emotions. It begins to wear down our health. It begins to wear down our brains. And every aspect of our life begins to start being affected by that constant stress. Why? Because we've lost the margins in our lives. And that's why margins are important. And when we start to lose our margins, the urgent obscures the important in our lives. Not only do the negative emotions arise, but also creativity suffers. You don't have that margin to begin to think and to dream and to create and to respond to the different emotions that come and the scenes of beauty that happen. Our creativity begins to suffer and our energy begins to wane. Interesting, I was reading an article by Jeff Bezos wrote a book. And in this article about him in his book, it says here, Jeff Bezos says that he makes time in his schedule to do nothing. It's a brilliant example of emotional intelligence. And he uses this word, puttering around. And so he wakes up every morning, he's telling people, I wake up every morning at 6:30 and then I just putter around and I don't schedule any meetings until 10 a.m. Because in the morning, I just need that space in my schedule to do nothing. And those are the times I can just hang out with my kids, eat some breakfast, spend time with my wife, just sit around and fill myself and let my mind daydream and wander. And then 10 a.m. is when I start to be productive. But I'm not as productive from 10 to 5 if I don't putter around and do nothing from 6:30 to 10. And that's just true. Social scientists have found that true to be true, that we're more creative and more productive if we have gap and space in our schedule. So our creativity suffers, our health suffers. And we talked before about how anxiety can just begin to wear on every aspect of your physical body. People have muscle pains, their heart stops functioning so well, lungs stop, you know, stomach, so many different systems in your body can get irritated, and then doctors are looking at, like Doc Ian's looking and saying, why, you know, Doc Ian, I got something wrong with my gut, you know, and there must be something wrong with my stomach. And they check it all out, and it's just stress, bro. You know, I'm having trouble breathing. It must be something wrong. And it's just stress. When our margins begin to go away, it can affect every part, our mental health. We start forgetting things. If you run at constant stress for long periods of time, you start forgetting things. It just really affects every part of our physical health as well. And our relationships suffer. When you're under constant stress, not only do the current relationships begin to break down, but you have a hard time making new friends. Nobody wants to be around the stress guy. And you don't have time for friendships, right? You don't have time to sit around and just get to know. I was talking to, I forget who it was, and they're talking about how their roommates, now their work schedule became less. And now that their work schedule became less, they found that they're just sitting around with the roommates more, and all of a sudden our friendship improves. just because we're sitting around more and just talking more, not because we said we're gonna make our friendships better. You know, I'm gonna get this girlfriend, and I'm gonna build my relationship. I'm gonna schedule in. I got KPIs this week. We're gonna hit these three things, and then we're gonna reach those four stages of friendship and romance. And you know, that's not how it happens, right? It's in the margins. It's in the space. It's that, like that old phrase, you got to stop and smell the roses. If you want to enjoy life, if you want to get the most out of life, you just have to have some margin in your life. If you want to see relationships happen and grow, I was like this our past trip to Hawaii, you know, we just cleared the schedule and said, okay, we're just going to spend time with mom. Get up in the morning, sit at the table, you know, eat fruits and throughout the day, just talk, just sit there. Just go run errands together and just spend time. And you leave after that, and there's something about your soul that just gets restored by spending time. In our current environment, with all that the dependency on technology that we have, fills all of our time and our relationships suffer. We're at dinner at the restaurant on a trip down to, I think we're in Hualien. And so we're sitting in this restaurant and we're eating. I was noticing the table next to me and all these young people, like 10 young people, all sitting together. And all 10 of them were on their phones. Nobody looking at each other. Everybody just sitting there on their phones, which I think is becoming more and more typical. You know, friends, let's all go out to eat together and then read our social media together separately. You know, but when you start to lose the margins, I know for my wife and I, just that relationship just quickly begins to deteriorate. The conversations that I wish I had, my relationship with God starts to deteriorate. Because it's in the margins that relationships happen. And all of us have limits. We're limited in how much margin we can create. Job chapter 14, verse 5 says this, in the New Century Version. Our time is limited. You have given us only so many months to live, and you have set limits we cannot go beyond. And there's just limits in life that we have. You only have so many friends that you can invest time into. You only have so much time. You only have so much money. And there's limits to what we can accomplish in this life and how much of time and emotion and money that we have to spend. And so we need to figure out who are we going to spend it on? What are we going to spend our margins on? What's going to contribute to our load? And I want to encourage you, if you are living in a life that has very thin margins, one of the exercises you can do is just take time and write down in one column all the different activities that you have in a day. What are your normal activities? And then in the next column, just write down, why are you doing that? What's the purpose? And then you have to evaluate, is my lack of margin, is my increase of load in life, is my loss of that space between load and limit worth the reason why, that purpose for which I'm doing this activity? And then sometimes you're just going to have to eliminate some to create more margin again. So here's some of the things that tear down, that erode our margins. One is fear. FOMO is a big fear of missing out. You know, I got to go there. I got to see this. I got to do what everyone else is doing. That jealousy that grabs us, that sense of comparison. We feel, you know, I want what they got. They just got a new house. I got to get a new house. They got the new watch. I got to get a new watch. A comparison, expectations, either for ourselves or that other people put upon us. I got to get that job. I got to get that position. I got to get that promotion. Otherwise, I'm less than. Otherwise, I'm missing out. We start to put these loads on our lives. Insecurity can begin to put extra, can deteriorate our margins. If we're insecure about ourselves, and we start to want to put up a false picture of who we are. And so we're always trying to throw up these projections of who we want people to think we are. And that takes just a lot of energy in our lives. And life in general can just, sometimes it's nothing bad, sometimes it's just life in general. There's a saying, if the devil can't make you bad, if he can't tempt you to do something bad, he'll just tempt you to be busy. And life just makes us busy, especially nowadays. You know, we have just more and more technology, more and more information. We're all familiar with how information is just exponentially growing. You know, back in 1900s, every 100 years, information doubled. And now we're down to, every 12 hours, that information is now doubling, at least according to some people. That's a lot of information to catch up on. And we can just feel like, I gotta know. And sometimes it's just the circumstances, like being able to work at home, the globalization of work. Now I have, you know, coworkers in all different time zones who are contacting me at all different time zones. And now that I'm working at home and everything's online, I'm easily accessible all the time. And all these things can begin to eat away at our margins. So how do we restore healthy margins? We're going to just look at some biblical examples, because from the start, God's intention was that we would live with margins. And so when the first nation that was a godly nation, Israel, when God established them, he gave them some rules that were intended to put margins into their lives. So margins is not just something that we get from, you know, self-help and psychology. It's actually biblical. It's actually something that God had in our lives from the beginning. The first thing that God did was this law, what they call the law of gleanings. We don't use that word anymore, gleanings. But let me explain it to you from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. It says, when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip away every last bunch of grapes from the vines. Okay? And do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. So what is he saying? He's saying as you are growing crops, when you harvest them, you don't have to wring every last bit out of it. Leave some there for others. And this is a sense of margins. If things fall to the ground, leave them there for someone else to come and get. Someone who maybe doesn't have land. Leave them there for someone else to come and to glean. You never know who might be blessed by what you leave behind. Just leave a little bit of margin in your life. So you don't just gotta say, man, I got, you know, one more hour today. I can do one more business deal and make, you know, X amount more money. I can make one more trade. I can make, you know, I can work for two more hours worth of wages if I just work for these next 2 hours. Leave some margin in your life. It's not all about productivity. It's not all about what you can squeeze out of life. Sometimes you're going to get more out of life by leaving some. That's the law of gleanings. And it's always been the heart of God that the rich wouldn't just keep getting richer, but that rich would live in such a way as to say, I don't need to be the richest person with the biggest paycheck. I can leave some for others to be blessed with. And that's part of the nature of God and the heart of God, and part of why we see in our society, I think, oftentimes so screwed up, where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we have these big gaps that cause real fractures in communities and in society. And it creates this greed where some people have so much they could never spend it all, and others are without. And that tears down relationships. And that destroys society. So God very early on said, hey, let's not live that way. Let's live with margins in our lives. Another thing that he instituted was what they call the law of the tithe. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. It said, you must set aside a tithe of your crops. That's 1/10 of all the crops you harvest each year. And what they would have to do is that when they gather that, they'd have to put 10% of the grain and the wheat and put it aside. And they would just see that piling up because there was just one temple that they would go to. And so they would start until it was time to go to the temple for a feast and a celebration. And then that they brought would be part of the feast and the celebration. So it was a time when they would all gather together and there would be celebration of all the harvest that had happened throughout the year. But throughout the year, they would be putting that aside. And so they had to live with just seeing, not eating everything that they grew, but putting some aside all the time. It's like having a savings account. Novel idea for some folks. not eating everything and spending everything that we get, not running up our credit cards and then falling behind, but living with margin in our life so that there can be times of celebration, so that there can be times of sharing together, so that there can be times of coming together and having extra for those who are in need. So this was another principle that God put in the law of the tithe, the law of gleanings, leave a little extra out there. The law of tithe, put some aside that can be shared. And it teaches you something. You know, there's a phenomenon they talk about delayed gratification and how it's an indicator of success for children. Just being able to say, no, let's just put it aside and it'll be better when we all eat it together later. And that's what the tithe would teach them. We're just putting some aside, and they would just see that being put aside. Every harvest, some put aside. And then they would all gather together in Jerusalem and they'd see people from around the country would come and be these big feast days of celebration and say, oh, that's why we do that. Sabbath, the law of the Sabbath, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It said, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So God established this Sabbath day. In fact, it goes all the way back to creation. When God created mankind in the book of Genesis, on the sixth day of creation, God created humankind. And so the very first day that humanity experienced on earth was the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. So we started off from the place of rest, not from the place of work. And that's really how God intends our lives to be lived. We flipped that all the way around and said, no, we're lived so that someday we can retire and rest. God said, actually, it's the opposite. You start with rest, and from your rest, you then work. And I think social scientists are only starting to catch up and say, yeah, that actually that rest, at that space, that margin of rest at the beginning of the day is going to lead to greater productivity and greater creativity when you actually go to work. And that's actually how God intended it to be. God intended us to live from rest, from relationship. So the very first thing that mankind did was spend a day of rest with God. And God intended that out of that relationship would flow the work. And that's why the Bible says that in the cool of the day, in the evening time, God would come down every day and just walk with Adam. And the Bible says that how God views the day is that actually the evening is the start of the day, because we start from the place of rest, sitting around the dinner table, talking together, sleeping, and then going to work from that place of rest. Living out of our margins, because a margin is where the relationship happens. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. I love that God put our church in there, right? But that's what we honor God out of relationship. We honor God out of not do a lot of great stuff and honor God. What is it? Be still and honor God. Because God's more interested in your relationship with Him than He is in what you can do for Him. That's what pleases Him most, is that we would know Him. That's what we're created for. We're actually not created for work. We're created to know Him. And work is a byproduct of knowing Him. Because as we know Him, we discover that what He's doing, God is working. And He invites us in to work with Him. Not to do for Him, but to do with Him. And that's the Christian life. The Christian life is meant to be a walk in relationship with God. And for those of you maybe who are new to Christianity, or maybe don't know, you know, just haven't been, maybe you're not a Christian here today. We can easily get a false concept of what Christianity is, that it's try to do good, get the rules down, behave, and then you know, you'll be pleasing to God, and then God will welcome you in, and you can have a relationship. But actually, Christianity is the opposite. As God says, welcome. Come be a son or daughter. Let's eat together. Let's build a relationship. And out of that relationship, then we'll work together. We'll do stuff together. But it'll be out of friendship, not to earn friendship. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's why Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's not work your way to get to me, you know. But rather, man, if your margins are just going away and your load is past your limit, you're doing it the wrong way. Just come, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, God's intention is that our lives, even when we're working, there would be a rest and a peace in our souls. God's intention for you, what we're going to find as we go through this series, is that as you find the place of margins, and margins the way that God intended, you're going to find that they lead to peace. And God's intention is that we live out of that peace and not strive to get that peace through our productivity and our work. But rather, our productivity and work comes out of that peace with God and that relationship with God. So, margins. Not only do they make sense to social scientists and psychologists and medical doctors, but margins have been a part of God's intention for us from Genesis and creation all the way to Jesus. And so for us as a church, let's embrace these next few weeks. I want to encourage you to take what we teach. And if you're like me, it's going to be a tough battle. My wife and I have been, since we started talking about, actually, since before we moved to Taiwan, we're like, we need more margins. You know, we're kind of in a crazy New York City, and we need more margins. You know, we've just felt this conviction from God to live with more margins. And we find ourselves a year and a half into it and thinking, we're still saying the same thing. We need more margins. We need to create more margins. And so let's encourage each other over this next series. Are you okay to join with us to do this together as a family? Let's challenge each other. We'll give you some practical things to do together. And let's as a church, let's look for more margins that build relationships, that build rest in God, that help us become more of a community, both with God and with each other, because that's what church was meant to be. If you're anything like me, I know these next few weeks of talking about margins might bring conviction, but like with me, maybe my history is very little action. But I want to encourage you, let's turn that around as we go through this series, and let's make a change in our lives as a church together. Find some folks to say, okay, let's go do this margin thing together, and just share life together and say, how are my margins doing? And where can I find more margin? And if you don't have friends, join a connect group. You'll find friends there. But I want to pray for us. Is that all right? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you give us wisdom from your word, and that your intention for our lives is that we would live from the place of rest, that we would live out of the place of relationship, that we would find you in the place of the margins. And God, I pray for this church, this congregation, for each one of us, that you'd help us in our lives in these next weeks, Lord God, to really grapple with our lives and to, Lord, make a concerted effort to encourage and challenge each other, and Lord, to take steps to really put margins into our lives, to find ways of finding margins in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit that walks with us and that can guide us into wisdom, into places of margin. And Father, today there may be some who don't know you, had never come into that place of the rest and the peace that comes only through relationship with you. Father, I pray today that we would turn our hearts to you, we would open up our hearts and invite you to come into our lives, that we would create some space, some margin in our lives to encounter you, to invite you into the margins of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.